2, The Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. And check out Dr. Oz and Dr. Roizen's website, youbeauty.com. Here are Joe Galewski, Dr. Deb Lonser, and of course, Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
A show that helps you take control of your genes to become the world expert on your body. It's you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. With Dr. Michael Roizen, he's the Chief Wellness Officer at the Cleveland Clinic. I'm Joe Galewski, udocs@gmail.com. That's your email address. To any questions you have for Dr. Mike, youdocs@gmail.com. In this hour, Dr. Gary Ginsberg has some time off. He'll be back with us very soon. But how about straight talk from the docs at 34 past the hour? Dr. Mike, you and Dr. Arthur Perry have a game plan today?
We do. We're going to first talk about SLS. Sodium lauryl sulfate, and why it's a very irritating compound, what it does, and why it is still commonly found in soaps, shampoos, toothpaste, all kinds of skin lotions. It's crazy. But Arthur's going to tell us why it's still there. And secondly, about photos, your photos on the web, and docs using your photos in their publicity shots, and what you can do about it, if anything. It's a very interesting aspect of law. And Arthur, sitting on the board for 10 years of the New Jersey Medical Credentialing Board, has some legal stuff that you can do that is very effective, and he tells what rules he would make were he the emperor to be able to do those rules about rules and what you should do to protect yourself even before such rules go into effect.
Sounds good. The straight talk from the doc segment at 34 past the hour. A real age tip? Got an idea?
Absolutely. The real age tip on this one is that abdominal fat is killing you and what you can do about it.
I've got a couple of things to share, too, if I get a chance. One of them being you've heard about these oxygen bars in New York City where people take hits of oxygen. Now, apparently, IV drips are the latest rage.
It's absolutely. I mean, there's so much risk in doing that. I can't believe that people just casually get an IV.
Got to tell you about it coming up probably after the 20, at 20 minutes after the hour. But more serious issues to get to in some of the top medical stories of the week. I know if Dr. Gary Ginsberg were here today, he'd want to talk about some more negative things coming out of BPA use, wouldn't he?
Absolutely. There's a study out of Duke this year that looked at one of the genes in developing brains, and they found that BPA, that is exposure to BPA in kids and even in women of middle age, they didn't look at a huge number of people other than children, but that exposure to BPA, food exposure to BPA, turned on a gene that resulted in lower IQ and mental dysfunction. So what we're worried about, remember we've talked about BPAs in baby bottles and BPA in the receipts, and BPA in plastic. Well, it turns out the place you get most BPA is actually those fast food receipts that you then touch your food. It doesn't get absorbed through the skin. It's got to go into your mouth or into your GI tract. But once you touch the food, that fast food receipt has 1,000 times more BPA on it than even a plastic container. But what it does mean is we should maybe move back towards those glass containers and storing food in our refrigerators in glass rather than in plastic.
BPA is in pretty much every receipt you may take from something?
Between BPA and BPS, which they thought was an alternative but is just as bad biochemically, those, between the two of them, they're in 99% of the receipts we get.
I'm really surprised. We talk about this a lot, and you mentioned that a second ago. There's not more said about that, because receipts, we touch receipts every day, right? If we buy something, something.
The answer is, if you don't need the receipt for some reason, why would a mom get a receipt at a fast food restaurant or a salad bar or anything else? There's no reason to get it, and it just has hazard, no benefit. So if you don't need a receipt, don't get one.
I know, but people...
It does say we shouldn't charge things as much because you automatically get a receipt when you charge it. Right?
Then again, some companies require a receipt for cash back. If you're putting it on an expense account, they need to see those receipts. So,
oh, of course.
But you know, people
saying,
do take
that, them. I mean, the receipts you get in taxis in New York City and in Cleveland, I don't know what they are in Syracuse, but at least in New York City and Cleveland, those are thermal printed on BPA paper.
Yeah, not good. I think more ought to be brought to light about that because I think it's something that we touch. A lot of us touch a lot all the time. A good percentage of people get these things, and more ought to be said about that. I'm not really sure people know too much about that, but people should be educated about that. A lot of people go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry.
And what this is this was a study out of Duke looking at the, if you will, the gene that gets turned on by BPA. So it actually disrupts gene regulation, and they think it can be a major cause of neurodevelopmental disorders, meaning lower IQ or even more than that, behavior problems, such as Rett syndrome.
Let me get you onto this.
And by the way, it's worse in female children than male children.
Oh, okay, so now you know, and be aware of that, because it's an awful thing. And people should be well educated to avoid those receipts. Tell us about four ways, if you would, to control healthcare costs.
Well, the first is just ask. That is, if you're going to have something done to you, or some procedure, or some test, you got to ask: is this test needed? Is there a less expensive one? Is there a way of getting it? So, for example, a lot of times, just having the procedure done or the test done at a community rather than a big hospital saves a lot of money. So tell the your physician what your deductible is and see if there's a way around it. Second, befriend your local pharmacist. Pharmacists are probably the least utilized and most knowledgeable resource in the healthcare system. So it's pretty easy, if you will, to ask a pharmacist, what does this interact with? Every time you get a pill, what does this interact with? Does it interact with anything that I'm on? What should I be watching for? What are the side effects of this? So do your research and ask. Third is to do your research. That is, find out what your health insurance covers and doesn't cover. That's going to be a lot more easy to do, although there'll still be just as much fine print with the exchanges. And the fourth thing is fight back. In the end, if your bill still ends up being more than you expected, don't be afraid to fight back. There are states that have to have consumer assistance programs in the new healthcare law. Some of them have them in now, so try and go and get them. And it's a very difficult process. Even us physicians don't know what the heck is going on a lot of time with the billing system. So take charge of it and be aggressive.
Dr. Mike is on my morning show here in Syracuse. His Real Age Tips every day, and he spends some extra time with me once a week. And that's one of the things we talked about, I think, a week or two ago, Dr. Mike, about tests. This group of physicians came up with a pretty long list of tests that they think, anyway, might be unnecessary and are guided to by some physicians. So that probably plays into that thing you just talked about ask about tests and whether they're really necessary in some cases.
That's absolutely correct. And know what you're going to do with the test. You know, if the test comes back abnormal, are you going to think about it? Are you going to get a second opinion? Are you going to plunge right ahead? The answer is never plunge right ahead. Always get a second or third opinion.
And it paid off for my daughter with an issue she had a couple of months ago. And with your help, Dr. Mike, it turned out to work to her benefit. And just follow up on that. So second opinions we really come to really appreciate and should take advantage of. All right, so coming up after the break, some of the top medical stories of the week. Tell you about these IV drips that a lot of people are taking advantage of.
What's in the IV drip?
Well, we'll tell you about that coming up. And bizarre late night food cravings. People are doing that too. What's going on? You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Mike Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
Are you tired of getting sick and tired? Are you tired of doctors not knowing what's wrong with you? D-Herbs may have the answer. D D-Herbs, number one in herbal remedies. D-Herbs' main goal is to enlighten and properly educate people to the importance of human health and nutrition. D-Herbs, home of the full body cleanse. Everyone needs to cleanse. If you eat meat and dairy products, you need to cleanse. If you're eating processed foods, you need to cleanse. 90% of today's diseases that we suffer from are diet related. Cleansing opens a door to healing and rejuvenation. Whether you need help with a chronic disease, weight loss, or to jumpstart and eliminate fatigue, D-Herbs Full Body Cleanse can help. There's a better way to live and healthier way to live. Experience healing. Visit us at dherbs.com. That's D-H-E-R-B-S.com. Or call us at 866-434-3727. That's 866-434-3727.
Downsized, outsourced, pink slipped, afraid of losing your home? Forbes magazine named our company one of the top 10 business ideas of 2012, where ordinary people are creating extraordinary incomes.
Hi, I am Elena from Miami. I was a traditional business owner with all the headaches that come with that. But I replaced that multiple franchise income working from home full time, and I spent all the time I want with my son.
Get out of the rat race. Work from home and start earning great money as soon as next week.
Hi, David from Boston. I was in the real estate industry for 12 years when the bottom completely fell out of that business. I really had my back against the wall with five young kids depending on me. I've now been in this business for less than a full year, and I'm actually better off today, income-wise, than I was in my best year ever in real estate.
Go to OneOccupyWealth.com now and change your life today. That's the number OneOccupyWealth.com. OneOccupyWealth.com. Start earning great money as soon as next week.
My story may help you. This is what happened. I was talking to my best friend. I told her I wasn't feeling like myself. I had pain in my pelvic area and bleeding that wasn't normal for me. Since it had gone on for a couple of weeks, my friend said I had to go to the doctor. Of course, she was right. Turned out I had uterine cancer, a type of gynecologic cancer. To make a long story short, by realizing something might be wrong and seeing my doctor right away, I received treatment. Now, we're confident I'll be fine. Please, please listen to your body. If something doesn't feel right for 2 weeks or longer, see your doctor.
Uterine, cervical, ovarian, vaginal, and vulvar cancers are all gynecologic cancers. Signs and symptoms are not the same for everybody. So get the facts. Get the inside knowledge. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO to learn more.
Knowing can make all the difference in the world. It did for me.
A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. October 8th through the 14th is National Fire Prevention Week, a great time to brush up on fire safety skills. We've all heard of stop, drop, and roll, but there's also the first up, last out rule. This method was developed after studies revealed that children don't always wake up when a fire alarm sounds. Even if they do, they're often disoriented and confused by the noise and commotion. Under these circumstances, children may decide it's safer to hide under the bed or in a closet than venture out into the darkness and smoke. First up, last out aims to avoid that situation. When a smoke alarm goes off, the first person up, usually an adult, is responsible for finding and ushering everyone out of the house. So while a working smoke detector more than doubles your chance of surviving a fire, it is also important to ensure that no one gets left behind. And for more information on children's health and safety, visit www.aap.org. With a Minute for Kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
And now, back to Dr. Michael Roizen, Dr. Deb Lonser, and Joe Galewski on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And the show brought to you weekly by YouBeauty.com and Morning and Night Multivitamins. Dr. Arthur Perry, 34 past the hour. It's called Straight Talk from the Docs. More on that IV drip praise going on. And if you're a parent of an obese kid, would you appreciate getting a fat letter from your school district? That's going on in some school districts. But before we get to those, Dr. Mike, tell me about these bizarre food, late-night food cravings one in four people like to indulge
that's
in.
That's the amazing thing. I am totally blown away that one in four people doesn't just have a food craving and eat at night, but they have a food craving and do something crazy, like put, you know, mayonnaise on peanuts or put sugar on ground beef or something. So these are things you wouldn't tell someone else about because they'd think you're crazy. And one in four admitted to not just a food craving, but a crazy food craving late at night. We've heard of late at night eating, and you know, obviously some of the fast food restaurants say we stay open for the fourth meal if Americans weren't eating enough in the first three meals. But this one is really crazy to me, in my mind.
Elvis did that, didn't he, if I'm not mistaken, right? He did a lot of that crazy stuff.
He did peanut butter and banana sandwiches. Actually, those are pretty good.
Really?
Yeah, have you ever tried it?
No,
it's just like putting peanut butter on apples, peanut butter on it mixes a sweet and a crunchy or sweet and something crunchy at the same time with a apple. Now the peanut, now the banana isn't quite as crunchy, but it has mixtures of flavors that are pleasing to your tongue palate.
So that wasn't the thing that killed Elvis then?
No. Elvis was killed by his drugs.
Yeah, right. It's amazing to me, too, that because I work the morning show here in Syracuse. I get there really early. I'm driving. I'm leaving the house at about 1:15 or 1:30 in the morning. And there's a McDonald's just outside my neighborhood that I drive past in the morning at about 1:15, 1:30. I'll occasionally get a coffee on the way, but it's amazing to me how that drive-through at that early hour in the morning is it's got a few cars in it every morning. I'm thinking to myself, man, I don't know if I could stomach fast food at that morning.
Work, but those are people not going to work but going home.
Right? Going home.
Right. I mean, you're one of the few on the way to work at that.
Right. Time. I'm just amazed at 1:30 in the morning how these fast food joints do have people in their drive-through. Okay, you would expect to see IV drips in hospitals and emergency rooms, but they are.
We should tell people what IV drips are. An intravenous or IV. IV stands for intravenous, meaning it's a needle or plastic catheter into one of your veins and hooked up to a bottle of fluid, and something runs through that bottle or is injected into that bottle and into you.
Right, and you can get an IV drip for what? Sunburn, something like that, quick, hangover. What's an IV drip is obviously...
We usually use it only, we use it for antibiotics.
Sure.
It's used for emergencies. Occasionally, severe dehydration, someone runs too far. Football players get it on very hot days. You have to do it occasionally. But this is a invasive thing. It's giving you fluid right into a vein. Well, obviously, if you don't do it perfectly and someone can give you bacteria, you can develop an infection. Someone can give you poison. They can make a mistake and give you the wrong fluid. I mean, you can get a cancer drug. To me, this is one of the stupidest things I've ever heard of.
Well, it is crazy.
I mean, it's right up there with the double cheese bacon burger or whatever the heck the worst food in the world is.
Right. These IV drips, from what I understand, are showing up routinely in night spots in New York City and spas as well. Somebody recently said she was in a spa looking for an energy boost. And when she said you walk out, you're fresh and ready for what the day brings you. And other people that get these IV drips hope the combination of vitamins and minerals.
What do they put in the IV drip that would give you that feeling?
Vitamins and minerals.
Yes, that's a true BS, bad science. What you're doing is you're getting a psychological benefit. So maybe they can fake it and just pretend they're putting it in a vein and put it on the skin and not do anything with it, and you'll feel better after an hour.
There's got to be a better way to get your vitamins and minerals, obviously, than an IV drip.
And vitamins and minerals are so readily absorbed that you shouldn't get them this way.
That's crazy. It really is. But
well, it's got just such a huge risk for our show. I mean, it's like saying I'm not going to stop at stoplights because I don't believe in them, and
right,
then driving across the busiest intersection, not looking at the stoplight. I mean, it's just that crazy.
It's crazy. It really is. How about fat letters? Some school districts are sending out fat letters, if you will, to parents of kids who are obese. Is this an overreach?
Well, what it is there are two reasons for doing it. One is the parents may not know, may think their kid looks normal and the kid is not normal from a standpoint of total weight. But in fact, so there are reasons to do it that way. But the other reason is to say their educational attainment goes down as body mass index goes up. So there is a reason for the kid to have to be fit or thin at school. You learn more and you advance in grades more. So it does relate. There is a reason or a rationale for this to be done at, if you will, a school. And what it is to say to the parent, hey, you're feeding your child or your child is getting too many calories. This may impede their learning. You might look at what you're doing with your child.
But how about
so? But it's got to be couched very carefully. You know, when they did this in Arizona, there was a tremendous uproar in the school. We did it in Ohio starting about 4 years ago, and thanks to the work of Kate Nagel and Persis Sosiak, they rewrote the thing so carefully and so beautifully that not one of any of the kids in, I think it was kindergarten and third grade is where we started it, not one of their parents objected to the letter because it was basically teaching them something about where the averages were and where their kid was.
Yeah, a little creative writing would be in order here. But does the BMI, how about this BMI measurement, Dr. Mike? Does it take into account muscle mass? Can muscle mass throw off a BMI reading?
Yeah, body mass index is not a perfect measure. And so Michael Jordan would have been judged as obese by
right.
that because he had so much muscle mass.
Right.
But there, you know, there aren't many Michael Jordans in the world. So it's in 99.8% of the time, 0.2% of the time it's wrong. So waist measurement might be a better one, which is measuring, taking a tape measure around your waist and you sucking in. And if it's greater than 37 and you're a woman, greater than 39 and you're a guy, or greater than half of your height, you know you've got a problem.
Now, here's what I don't understand. Don't you think, though, Dr. Mike, that, you know, parents know their kids are obese, right? It's a physical-looking thing.
Well, actually, they deny it.
Really?
That's
because
the
it's...
interesting thing is the misperceptions are fairly great. And I don't know whether, you know, denial is not just a river in Egypt or what it is, but they don't think the kid is fat when they often are very fat.
It just seems to me it's not like a developmental condition where, you know, signs are difficult to spot. This is something you can see. I mean, there's hardcore evidence that your kid is way overweight.
But they compare him to every other kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
And many of the other kids are also overweight, so they don't know what to do.
All right, we'll be back. Time out. It's for Dr. Arthur Perry to take over with Dr. Mike. It's a segment we call Straight Talk from the Docs, youdocs@gmail.com. udocs@gmail.com is the email address, and you can catch the missed segments of Radio MD. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD.
I am a face of influenza.
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 We all are faces of influenza.
I'm a mom. And I'm a face of influenza.
Health officials now recommend everyone 6 months of age and older get immunized against influenza this
and every year.
Vaccination is safe and is the best way to help protect yourself and your family from contracting and spreading the flu.
We all are faces of influenza.
See your healthcare provider about getting immunized. The American Lung Association urges everyone 6 months of age and older, and we mean everyone, to get vaccinated. Visit facesofinfluenza.org. Influenza is serious. So are we. Get vaccinated.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. The U.S. is experiencing an increase in the number of cases of whooping cough. This is a serious illness caused by pertussis bacteria. It often starts with what seems like a common cold. Then, especially for toddlers, the cough worsens and leads to the characteristic whoop sound on inhaling. During this phase of the illness, which usually lasts more than 2 weeks, the child can get short of breath and the skin around the mouth may turn blue. Older children may cough so hard they vomit. The illness can be particularly deadly for infants who can develop complications such as pneumonia and seizures. Whooping cough is highly contagious and can spread to children who have not been vaccinated. The best way to prevent this dangerous illness is to be sure your child received all doses of the pertussis vaccine. This is usually given as the DTaP vaccine. And for more information on preventing whooping cough, visit www.cisp.org. With a Minute for Kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
It's one thing to have a job in this economy, but it's another to have a career that you love. Getting the skills for today's careers may depend on your college degree. So if you're interested in the future of business, electronics, information technology, or drafting and design, call ITT Technical Institute today. With over 100 campuses nationally, ITT Tech can prepare you for a career in one of these fields. After all, tens of thousands of ITT Tech grads have built a solid future. Perhaps they can do the same for you. Classes meet just a few times a week, and financial aid is available to those who qualify. So what's stopping you? For more information and to schedule your campus tour, call ITT Tech toll-free at 800-574-1319. That's 800-574-1319. ITT Technical Institute, education for the future. 800-574-1319.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission, to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.
And now back to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. And now joining Drs. Roizen and Lonzer is renowned plastic surgeon, Dr. Arthur Perry.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on RadioMD.com. You can always get, if you miss a show, gosh, I hope you don't, but if you miss a show, you can go to RadioMD.com and get us in the library, and you'll never miss Arthur Perry. And he's usually brilliant. I love the phrase renowned because it does indicate what you are. You're great, and you're honest, truth and guidance in Arthur Perry. So, Arthur, what is sodium lauryl sulfate, and why is it in so many toothpaste, soaps, everything else, shampoos, when you say it's so irritating?
Well, Mike, sodium lauryl sulfate, now, it goes under the name SLS. That's what a lot of people hear it. You know, they hear the word SLS, sodium lauryl sulfate. There's a lot of cousins to this. This is in a class of drugs. It's a chemical. It's a drug. And what it is it's a surfactant, Mike. And you and I know what that is. But it's something that allows a fat to become a soap, you know, to suds. And so in all of your soaps, Mike, I bet you just about every single liquid soap, every shampoo, every toothpaste, and a lot of bars of soap, you have sodium lauryl sulfate. Do you remember that commercial about 20 years ago with Christie Brinkley? Remember that one where she was using Prel shampoo in the shower and it was a zen moment for her? Do you remember that one?
I must admit I don't, even though I like Christy Brinkley.
Christy Brinkley had a zen moment in the shower with something called sodium lauryl sulfate. That was the stuff that caused her shampoo to froth up. So it's really very nice. But the problem with it, Mike, is it's an irritant to the skin. And it's a known irritant. And it's in all shampoos, virtually, with a few exceptions. And
it won't
wonder,
be in the Arthur Perry line,
if it's an
Dr.
irritant.
Perry.
Because it
Dr.
works.
Dr. Perry.
And you know, when consumers choose between products, they virtually always choose the one that kind of works better, regardless of the safety. So if you have identical soaps, Mike, and you have one that's brown because of coloring and one that's clear colored, and they do exactly the same thing, and you put these in front of focus groups, they will always, without fail, choose the brown soap. And people think that color or fragrance or froth does something for them. But in actuality, sodium lauryl sulfate is one of the most irritating chemicals. And in fact, about 20 years ago, Mike, there's a test that became a standard for irritation in the skin for cosmetics. And it's called the repeat insult test. And I do it on all my products, and everybody does it. And you know, it was started with the use of sodium lauryl sulfate. That's what they used to establish the parameters of this test. And that means this is such an irritant that everything else is compared to sodium lauryl sulfate. Are you still with me, Mike?
I am with you. I don't know if you can hear me, though. Can you hear me?
I think I lost Mike.
No, I'm here. You just can't hear me.
Sonar, are we there with Mike?
Sonar? Can you boost him up, because he can't hear me, apparently.
You lost the signal from this end, Mike.
I can hear you fine. So
okay,
I'm
there we go. We're back now. That's great.
Okay. I heard you fine, but right. Somehow you weren't hearing me. So
not
hopefully everybody out on the network was hearing you.
All right. So we're here with this irritant in soap, Mike, and in all these things, sodium lauryl sulfate. It functions very well, but it irritates the skin. And, you know, in my reading...
Wait, Arthur, all that foaming I get that I think I was doing something, it's lifting dirt off my skin. You mean that isn't lifting dirt off my skin, or it's something else that's doing that?
No, it's not doing anything, Mike. You know what it's doing? It's penetrating into your skin. Do you want to know how far sodium lauryl sulfate can actually penetrate into your skin? This is a real...
How far can sodium lauryl sulfate penetrate into my skin?
Oh, it's like Johnny Carson. 6 millimeters, Mike. 6 millimeters. If you put it on your skin...
Well, wait, that's through my
measure.
Skin. That's not just into my skin.
Yeah.
It's into
amazing.
My body. It's into my muscles.
That's right. And it is one of the most potent things that increases water loss of the skin. So here we are, Mike. We're putting something on our skin. We come out
of
the
shower. Well, that would give you a reason to use a moisturizer.
Exactly. And you know what? The antidote for sodium lauryl sulfate poisoning, and that's what it is, the antidote is ceramide. That's we learned about that, right? That's one of the components of a good moisturizer and other things that moisturizers have. So here you are. You've got a cleaner for your skin that's causing so much irritation that you cannot get out of the shower without feeling kind of dry. And then you have to put something on your skin to make that feel better. So isn't that something? So, Mike, the lesson for the day is try and avoid sodium lauryl sulfate.
Well, obviously a company selling stuff would say, this is pretty good. I give them sodium lauryl sulfate. They think I'm doing something because it foams. And then they've got to get a moisturizer from me as well.
Exactly. Isn't that amazing? That is what happens.
So, Arthur, do you have sodium lauryl sulfate in any of the new Arthur Perry products that are coming out at the end of the month?
Never. We would never have sodium lauryl sulfate. There's lots and lots of other choices, things that can cause some foaming. And you know what I put in my soap, Mike? You're going to love this one. The stuff that makes root beer foam. It's called soap bark. It's a very natural substance. You know, I know you don't drink soda. I'm talking to the wrong person, but I've had one or two root beers in my day, And it's really foamy. It's the foamiest of all the sodas. So, you know, and we can actually use that.
That was one of the things
I
didn't like about it. It would foam up so much you couldn't drink it.
Right through your nose. That's right. But it's a great substance to put in soap instead of those other foaming agents because it doesn't irritate your skin. So there are lots of alternatives, natural alternatives. We don't have to use the toxins in our skin, Mike. The more I read about it, the worse I like sodium lauryl sulfate. We want to stay away from that. It actually changes your RNA.
So someone has sent an email and said they used to use your night skin. That's something that nourishes their skin at night. They miss it very badly. When will you have something like that available?
And I've got something called Nighttime coming out. Nighttime. And that will be, where are we now? We're March 2nd? Oh, we're closing right in. Is it March 2nd already? Wow.
It is.
April 1st, Mike. April Fool's Day. April 1st, we're going to have Nighttime and Clean Time, the first two products. I'm very happy with those. It's been a long road. I've been talking to you about this for about a year now, but it's coming, and they'll be great products. Thanks for asking.
And now, the other thing that I saw that was fascinating this week is how does a patient who is undergoing plastic surgery or having... I mean, you see all those, I guess it is, what is that, I wanted to say it's Lifeline facelift or something like that. I can't remember because I know it's a sham. At least I was told it was a sham. I don't know that it's a sham. What is that? You remember
well,
that?
Well,
those facelifts, how do people protect themselves from getting their picture used on websites and TV?
Yeah, isn't that interesting? You know, about 15 years ago, Mike, it was considered unethical for plastic surgeons to put pictures on their websites. Magically, Mike, it became ethical as our National Society voted. It's now ethical. So I think when we come back, we're going to talk about the use of those photographs and the really bad things that can happen when people put photographs on their websites, Mike.
Wow. I don't think I want my... I even resist putting photographs on of me or anything like that on Facebook because I like my privacy. Obviously, it has some other benefit in promoting things, and so people can know more about the show. So I've done that now, and so they can learn more about the show. But I don't think I want my medical pictures up there and not my gray hair as it's turning more and more gray. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual radio show, and now with Arthur Perry in this You Beauty.
Great Start Life Insurance, offered by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, ensures the insurability of your child. Now, what does that mean? Well, too often people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards precludes them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. By insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your child, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out about the rates and all the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com, enter the station's call letters, and as a thank you for applying, we'll give you a free non-insurance prescription discount card, good for substantial savings on prescriptions and other medical tests. Keep and use the discount card even if you should cancel your Great Start Juvenile Life Insurance policy. The free discount card is not insurance and discounts are available only at participating pharmacies. The discount medical plan organization providing this discount card is Vantage America Solutions, Inc. Ensure the insurability of your child and check out the Great Start Plan. Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois. Peace of mind. Now at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission, to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.
Are you always looking for places to stop and rest because you're short of breath, wheezing, or coughing? Who wants to live like that? See your doctor for a simple breathing test to find out if it's COPD, a serious lung disease. With treatment, soon you could be living more and stopping less. Visit copd.nhlbi.nih.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Did you know only about 3% of the CEOs of Fortune 500 companies are women?
And of the 18,000 police chiefs in America, less than 2% are women.
So it's no wonder that only 1 in 5 girls believes she has what it takes to lead.
But did you know?
We can change that.
The time you spend with a girl now,
the words you say to her today,
can give her the courage, confidence, and character to become a leader tomorrow.
So speak up.
Get involved.
Nurture her potential.
Share your experience.
Invest your resources.
Did you know?
Together, we can get her there.
Get started today. Visit togetherthere.org.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. Kids often test parental limits and rules, and sometimes parents decide enough is enough. That's when a timeout may be effective. Timeouts stop children from getting attention after they misbehave. Timeouts work best for children between the ages of 2 and 5, but can be effective for kids as old as 10 in some cases. A rule of thumb is 1 minute of timeout for every year of your child's age. For example, a 4-year-old would get a 4-minute timeout. Some guidelines for a timeout. Give the timeout immediately after the unacceptable behavior so your child knows why she's being disciplined. Explain clearly why the behavior was unacceptable. Calmly place your child in a quiet, boring, but secure place. If she gets up, quietly explain that her timeout isn't over and return her to her seat. When it is over, wipe the slate clean and remember to praise your child each time and every time she shows acceptable behaviors. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don.
And now back to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Here are the You Docs, Dr. Michael Roizen and Dr. Arthur Perry.
And this is Dr. Mike. I'm sitting here figuratively with Dr. Arthur Perry. We're actually a continent apart. I'm in Santa Rosa, California today. He's in sunny New Jersey today. Arthur, now, what can you do about the... So it's ethical, the plastic surgeons say it's ethical to put patients' pictures on their website?
They do, although you're supposed to have written permission, and even with that, you should really not use someone's name. But, Mike, there's this huge problem that's emerged with the Internet. We talked a little bit about it a few months ago, but it's spreading. And what it is when you put a photograph of someone on the Internet, on your website, most of us that are doctors don't realize this, but there's all sorts of information embedded into that photograph. You know that if you put a photograph, if you take one in Santa Rosa right now and put it on Facebook, some very clever people can find out exactly to the room number where you are by that photograph. So it can, there are locating services.
Room number. Wait. How is it say what room I'm in on the photograph?
No, not really, but pretty close, Mike. Within about 50 feet, they can locate you.
Wow.
So not really the room number. But, you know, locator services, they're embedded into those photographs, and you know what? So are patient names. So are patient names. When we take their photographs in our offices, we put those pictures now into the computer, into the patient's file. And when those photographs are used on doctors' websites, then if they're not careful, if the doctor doesn't know what he or she is doing, they will not scrub the name from those photographs. And anyone who knows anything, and that means everyone under the age of 30, about the Internet and about photographs, will find out the name, the actual name of the patient who had that breast augmentation. Now, this became well-known about 8 or 9 months ago. There was a lawsuit out of St. Louis where a woman Googled her name. This is how it happened. She Googled her name, and her name actually in the Google search came up under the breast augmentation that she had with this particular plastic surgeon. Can you imagine that, Mike? Finding
well,
that
would be eye-opening. That would really
for you
wake her up, wouldn't it?
And, yeah. And so people started looking all over the country, and it wasn't an isolated incident. It wasn't just this woman in St. Louis. There are cases all over the country with all different web hosting companies. There was one, Einstein is a company out, I believe, California, and I think it's MedMD and out of New York. These companies are putting these photographs up, and they're blaming it on the doctor. They're saying the doctor should be the one scrubbing the information from the photographs. It's a huge problem. The problem with photographs, Mike, goes beyond whether or not someone should put a patient's picture up or not. Now people are stealing other doctors' pictures. And so there's this plagiarism on the internet where doctors are taking photographs from other doctors' websites, putting them on their own website, and saying those results are their own. Can you imagine this? This is what's going on in the wild west of the internet with board-certified plastic surgeons.
Wow. Why would they do that instead of using their own patients?
Well, maybe they don't have good results. Maybe they're new, young. I don't know the answer. But there's problems like this all over the internet. People are talking about it. You know, there's also photographs that have been digitally altered. And this precedes the computer era because, you know, you can alter, we used to alter photographs on the computer before the internet, and unscrupulous doctors would put those altered photographs in advertisements. So, you know, there's ways to do all these things. How do you protect yourself if you're a patient? You know, it's tough. You have to have an ethical doctor as your doctor. You have to be able to trust that doctor. And certainly, you have to make sure that when you read one of those consent forms that says that a doctor will be using your photographs, then make sure you actually ask the doctor, is my name going to be scrubbed from the photo? And you know something, if the doctor doesn't know what that means, then do not sign that. Don't sign the consent, because if they don't know what that means, then you're potentially in trouble, and they're in trouble then. It's the Wild West, Mike.
Isn't that interesting? So one of the ways you protect yourself, let me get it straight, is one is say no, don't give a consent to it. And the second is give a time-limited consent. You can use it within 2 years, and you have to ask for renewal. And
that won't work.
You can't have
it
my name on it. And three is make sure, are you scrubbing my name, and make sure it has that in the consent.
Mike? The time limit does not work on the internet. The internet is forever. You can go to your all websites are archived every single day. There are giant computers. You could go to the Cleveland Clinic website on waybackmachine.com is the website, and you can find the Cleveland Clinic website from the day that you were hired there. You can go back. So there's no way to get those things off the internet once they're on. So you either give permission or don't give permission. They're forever, like a book.
Huh, isn't that interesting? So time limiting doesn't work. What you've got to do is ask for them to scrub it.
Right. And the thing is, if the doctor has that look in his eye that he has no idea what you're talking about, do not give permission, because that means he doesn't understand that the photographs have embedded information in them.
I gotcha. Well, Arthur, we're coming up with a real age tip of the week to end the show this week. Now on you. And this is the tip of the week. That abdominal fat is killing you. Want to nab a sneaky health thief that's fast becoming public enemy number one? It is already. Grab a tape measure, lock the bathroom door, get naked, and take an honest, your eyes only garner at your middle. And suck the tummy pooch in. Yep, if your waist is more than 35 inches around for women, more than 39 for men, it's time to get real about the fat you keep pretending is a no big deal, muffin top or beer belly. Yes, we're talking about abdominal fat, also known as ab fat, or what Dr. Oz and I call omental fat. Those breezy summer catalogs clogging your mailbox now may offer loads of high-fashion camouflage for a big belly, from XL t-shirts to floaty linen tunics and miracle suits. But you're probably aware that out of sight, out of mind is a risky way to deal with a spare tire. We docs have been warning about ab fat or omental fat for over a decade, and if you will. The latest data is abdominal fat is lethal. That's right. It's as bad as a pack-a-day smoking habit. It infiltrates your liver and squeezes your heart. It's bad for your bones, joints, brains, breasts, and prostate. Yeah, it ages you. It makes you as old. That's 10 years older. So even if the rest of you swim, that abdominal fat is bad. The real age benefit of losing it, up to 10 years younger. This is You, the Owner's Manual radio show. Please lose that abdominal fat. We'll be back next week with an all-new show. Thanks, Owner, for great engineering, Arthur Perry, Joe Galuski, and you especially for listening. Thanks.
Are you tired of getting sick and tired? Are you tired of doctors not knowing what's wrong with you? D-Herbs may have the answer. D-Herbs, number one in herbal remedies. D-Herbs' main goal is to enlighten and properly educate people to the importance of human health and nutrition. D-Herbs, home of the full body cleanse. Everyone needs to cleanse. If you eat meat and dairy products, you need to cleanse. If you're eating processed foods, you need to cleanse. 90% of today's diseases that we suffer from are diet related. Cleansing opens the door to healing and rejuvenation. Whether you need help with a chronic disease, weight loss, or to jumpstart and eliminate fatigue, D-Herbs Full Body Cleanse can help. There's a better way to live and healthier way to live. Experience healing. Visit us at dherbs.com. That's D-H-E-R-B-S.com. Or call us at 866-434-3727. That's 866-434-3727.
Hi, I'm Dr. Regina Benjamin, U.S. Surgeon General. As a family doctor, I've seen the terrible impact of a premature birth. Losing a baby is one of the hardest things a family can go through. As Surgeon General, I see the toll that premature births have on our nation. It can cause lifelong disabilities. It is the leading cause of death in newborns. And our country has one of the highest rates of preterm birth in the world. We must do better. Hospitals need to ensure that babies are delivered early, only when medically necessary. We need research to find the causes of premature birth and research to find new ways to prevent it. Couples need to learn the risk of premature birth and what they can do to have a full-term baby, such as getting a preconception checkup. Remember, 40 weeks is a full-term pregnancy, and every week of pregnancy counts. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies.